We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Good day to you and welcome. Bill Michaels Show on the air. We are live, Blaine's Farm and Fleet on Rawson Avenue in Oak Creek, Wisconsin. And we got to say thanks to our friends from Abra Auto Body and Glass, as not only are they presenting sponsor, but they just brought in some cash and toy donations from their shops. So $145 in cash and a whole bunch of toys. Whole bunch of toys that just came. So thanks to them as well. Thanks to our good friends that have been feeding us all week long, whether it's Perkins, whether it's Wendy's, whether it's Chili's. They've been fantastic as well. And thanks to everybody that has dropped off food. There's Andre. How you doing, buddy? There you go. That is our daily food donation. So thanks to Andre for coming by. And then we have our edible arrangements down here, which many of you came by and picked up a little while ago for a toy donation or a $10 donation. Thanks to Tim. Thanks to Tracy. Thanks to Brian. Thanks to Aaron. Thanks to everybody that came by during the break and said hello and dropped off a new unwrapped toy. Or they dropped off a cash donation. But we got to fill the semi. The semi is only about half full right now. We need to fill that thing up with toys, new unwrapped toys, for the Children's Hospital of Wisconsin. Joining us here in our studio, Andrew Wagner of the Sports Exchange. How you been, man? Hang on a second. There we go. There we go, right there.
Now we're mic'd up.
Now we're all good. How you been?
I'm good. Good to be here. This is my favorite thing of the year. I absolutely love the toy drive. And it's not just because it's at Blaine's Farm and Fleet. I actually love the work of Children's, and I love doing stuff to help out.
Yeah, it's first of all, you brought some toys down, which is always good.
I did.
The non-working circular saw is always good for a child.
Yeah, I bought the kids' toolbox, because I figure power tools are age-specific yet. So.
Okay, there you go. Hey, by the way, thanks to Luann, who came up from Kenosha, dropped off $50 and some toys. Ooh. I feel like we're doing a telethon right now, which is great. Keep the phones ringing, people.
You ever hosted a telethon?
I've been a part of one.
Yeah, it's
years
insane.
Years and years ago.
My buddy in Oshkosh, we did a telethon in Oshkosh every year for Ataxia telangiectasia. And my buddy, my roommate Nick and I, we would do the auction table for 10, 12 hours at a crack. It is insane. You are mentally and emotionally drained by the end of those
things. Exactly. By the time you get done with it. And I've been on a few marathons when it comes to I got trapped, actually. We WBZX in Columbus, Ohio was one of the first stations I ever really had a good gig at. And I was a morning show guy, but everybody in morning show or whatever would either voice track or whatever a weekend show. Well, I had nothing going on, so I thought I'd do it over the weekend. And we got a snowstorm. And I mean, like, epic snowstorm. And I couldn't get out. And we couldn't, get much to us. Thank God the Domino's delivery guy had a big, huge, monster four-wheel drive truck, because they kind of blocked us in. So I was on the air almost 30 hours.
Yeah.
30 hours, but I was doing records.
Right.
So at least every now and then you could put in November Rain or Inagata DeVita and go pee. something like that. Otherwise, you were. And that was back in the day where you actually physically had to put the CD in and line up the track and everything, and had the old carts for commercials. This wasn't, where you could just do it on a computer and walk away from.
Yeah, I'm old enough to have remembered using carts and tapes and discs.
Yeah.
So,
it was at least I was okay. I think there were some other people in the building that didn't necessarily do it the right way, we'll say.
Glamorous business for it.
Yes, it was, and I would not have wanted to be the cleanup trash company coming that week from some of the other people. But nevertheless, so I digress. Hey, we were talking, you cover baseball, you cover our friends over at the Milwaukee Bucks. I want to do baseball real quick.
Yeah, it's fine.
A hell of a season. We've heard a lot this week about free agency. Adam McCalvey was just here talking free agency. How active do you think the Brewers are going to be in free agency?
I think the Brewers will be responsibly active. And I heard you and Adam kind of talk about it. Mark is the kind of owner, he wants to spend. And I know there are a lot of people that were disappointed when the Brewers didn't make a move at the trade deadline. And while I agree to an extent that, prospects are only, you know, as good as their reputation until they get up here. The thing to keep in mind is the next couple of seasons, the Brewers are foreseeing being pretty good. And when you're pretty good, you draft pretty low. So I like the fact that they stood pat at the deadline and decided that they were going to make a move maybe in free agency, hold on to their young talent, and let it keep developing. I don't think they're going to go out and drop $200 million on Jake Arrieta. And I saw the report, and I know they were kicking the tires. And it's important to remember, when you see a national columnist say something like the Brewers are interested in so-and-so, yeah, everyone's going to be interested in Jake Arrieta. Yeah. There's always going to be internal discussions. I think they're going to look into every single person out there and then figure out what's going to be the best short-term and long-term investment. And the thing to remember is every one of these deals, when you go out and you sign a big-money pitcher, that deal is probably going to stink at the end of it just because that's the nature of the course. Guys are older. You got to pay a lot up front for the upfront success. And then we saw with Jeff Suppan, we saw with Randy Wolf, saw with Matt Garza. So the Brewers are going to be active, but I don't think they're going to do anything foolish like drop $250 million on a guy for a seven-year deal. I like the partnership between Stearns and Ottanasio right now. I like the way they're doing it. I like the way they do their due diligence. And, you know, I think they're going to make some moves this offseason. I think they've kind of painted themselves into a corner in a really good way where they have to do it. And Ottanasio says every single year in spring training, the record will dictate the payroll. And we saw now they had a good record. They're going to make a move, and they're in this thing to win it.
I want to talk more about the pitching, but also the second base position. I thought it was interesting when I asked Craig Counsell about second base, and instead of talking immediately about VR and the progression he had towards the end of the season and such, and maybe bouncing back from what he had a couple of years ago, he started talking about free agency.
Yeah.
Do you think that they're going to? I mean, obviously, as Adam said, you know, look, you're not going to just pass on the guy. You're only going to owe him about $3 million, so it's not, you know, in the grand scheme of things, it's somewhat of a drop in the bucket, but. I don't think the second baseman right now, unless he performs admirably and just picks up where he left off from a couple of years ago, I don't think he's going to be the opening day second baseman. There's probably a guy out there that they're going to go get.
Yeah, I think they're going to make a move at that position. I think if Neil Walker is open to coming back at the right deal, they would take him back. I mean, he's going to explore the market. I agree with Adam. They're going to bring Jonathan Villar back. I mean, on a $3 million deal, something like that, it's a pretty good choice, and he can have a chance then to earn it. Or earn a spot somehow. I mean, he's not as bad as he was last year, and I don't think he's as good as he was the year before. But you find a happy medium between those two seasons, that's a pretty good player to have on your roster because he gives you a lot. He gives you, you know, switch hitting. He gives you some speed and some pretty decent defense. So, you know, I don't think we've seen the last of him, and he'll have a chance to earn a bigger role.
Go back to I want to talk some Bucks now and get into that discussion. Give me your synopsis of the season so far because I don't know necessarily – I mean, I know they've had some injuries. I know they had some, they had to make a trade. They got rid of Moose. They changed the bench dynamic a little bit. There's been some turmoil. At what point do you start to look at this season and go, okay, this is what this team is?
I've been wondering that for a year and a half. You know, what is the identity – when Kidd first came in, the Bucks' identity was very long, very active, and incredibly good defensively. You know, they were a team that made you work on offense and destroyed you in transition. What their impression is not like, okay, let's look at the Golden State Warriors, for example. Not to compare apples and oranges here, but listen, they've got Klay and they've got Steph, but they're known for being a team that can shoot the lights out, you get out and run, knock down three-pointer after three. They're known for certain things. You know, the Spurs are known for being a methodical, organized. What is the Bucks' identity? Because right now, all I see the Bucks is Giannis and a bunch of guys that the front office wants you to believe are really good key players, but I just don't see any kind of identity, offensively, defensively, whatever, except for Giannis. And at some point, they got to figure out what their calling card is going to be, aside from the 7-foot freak that kind of runs the show.
Is that on Jason Kidd, or is that on obviously Horse now?
I think it's on Horse now, and to a lesser extent. Listen, Kidd's job is to work with the players that he gets. And I know the rumors that Jason Kidd is actually the GM and Horse is just the button pusher for the ownership and the coach. Fine, whatever. But you know, you put a team together, it's a team thing. It's ownership, it's coaching, it's general manager. I would say most of it lies on Horst now. It's his job to put the talent around Giannis to make this team a contender. And I'm not buying that simply getting Jabari Parker back is going to be the be-all, end-all to this team, because he's looked good in flashes, but if you're putting the season on the line, do you have enough faith yet in a Jabari-Giannis combination? Because I don't yet. I just don't.
This portion of the program being brought to you by our friends at Cousin Subs, where they believe in better. Go to a Packer game. Sit on the 50-yard line, and you may be able to win those tickets simply by going to Packers.com/best seats. Packers.com/best seats. That is brought to you by our friends at Cousin Subs, where they believe in better. The official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Andrew Wagner, the Sports Exchange, live here in studio in our Southeast Wisconsin Sunroom studio outside of Blaine's Farm and Fleet on Rawson Avenue in Oak Creek. It is the 11th annual toy drive. We cannot do this without you. Please, a new unwrapped toy or a monetary donation. Either way, it all works, but please swing by and say hello if you could, or make a donation online by simply going to 1057fmthefan.com. That's 1057fmthefan.com. More of the Bill Michaels Show with Andrew Wagner coming up next.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. This is the 11th annual Toy Drive for Children's Hospital. New this year, we have a dip jar. What's a dip jar? It's a simple way to make a monetary donation by simply dipping your credit or debit card to make a $10 or $25 donation. In this case, we also encourage double dipping. See what I did there? Now, back to the live show. Just outside Toyland at Blaine's Farm and Fleet, 6th and Rawson in Oak Creek.
Welcome back. Bill Michaels Show. We are broadcasting live inside the Southeast Wisconsin Sunroom Studio here at Blaine's Farm and Fleet in Oak Creek. It's the 11th annual Toy Drive, and we can't say thanks enough to everybody that has come by. I mean, it's always amazing. We kind of put out the word. People start flooding in here. We just want to see more. I hate to pound that drum and say more, but we're out to set a record this year. And the one thing I will say is our toy donation is down this year. So if you can find it within yourself to pick up a new unwrapped toy, that's great. We would certainly appreciate it. The money it spends, it all goes to the same place. But if you can help us out and drop off a toy, a new unwrapped toy, and it doesn't matter where you buy it from, whether it's Blaine's Farm and Fleet or anywhere else for that matter. We had a group that came down from Target a little bit earlier today, and a woman that had stopped by, and actually she was listening to the program before she went into a Walgreens to pick up her prescription. And picked up a couple of toys there. I mean, we don't care where it's from. Just come on by and say hi and drop one off and be a part of the program. We would certainly want to say thank you up close and personal. Tonight, I want to remind you, you're going to be on the road, not only here, but tonight. And by the way, if you want to do this tonight, if you're in, say, the Brookfield area, and I know it's not an official stop or anything, but I'm going to be at tonight, I'm going to be at Saloon on Calhoun with myself, Chuck Freeman, our Granny Gold analyst, Paul Emig. It's the Bill Michaels Huddle tonight, brought to you by Bud Light. So if you can't get down here and you're in Brookfield and you're in, say, the surrounding areas, whether it's Sussex, Menominee Falls, if you're in Milwaukee County over by Capitol Drive in that area, if you're in the Brookfield or Town of Brookfield area, if you want to come out and drop a toy off there and bring it to, I'll make sure it gets in the bin tomorrow. So if you can't make it down here, bring it out tonight for those 2 hours that we're there from 6 to 8, and I will make sure that I get it in the bin first thing tomorrow morning. Joining us here in studio, Drew Wagner. From the Sports Exchange, we were talking to Bucks basketball. I want to go back to the Brewers for just a minute because we were sitting here talking a little bit about offseason and what it is they're looking forward to. What is your expectation going into next season? Because nobody expected this season.
Right. And listen, we've seen this enough in sports, and I've warned people that, yeah, you know, last year was great. You chased a playoff spot down every single team and every single sport that has a rebuilding process, you see it all the time. They have that first year where it's just kind of a organized chaos. And then the second year, they make that unexpected surge. And the third year, there's always a little bit of a regression. So if that, I would not be surprised at all if that happens next year. If they fall back a little bit. As long as you're still seeing progress and development, okay, fine. With the way baseball's set up, they got a good chance of making a run to a wild card spot. I still think the Cubs are the team to beat in the NL Central. Absolutely, hands down. The West Division is probably going to dominate again for the wild card spots. So, you know, it probably won't be as close as it was this year. That's my realistic expectation. I think if they make the right pitching moves, they can be in it again, but I would not be at all surprised if they have a little bit of a setback, and then 2019 is when they make that real first legitimate push.
What do you see? Because I find it interesting. They get rid of Dusty Baker after a couple of successful seasons in Washington. And I get it because they believe it's the time is now. They got to get over the hump. But what more do they have to do? I mean, other than their bullpen. Their bullpen just sucked. We all know that. But they just got into the postseason and just got beat.
Yeah. And they it's not like they were upset by some – it's not like the Brewers snuck into the playoffs, went in and swept the Nationals in 3-4 games. I mean, they lost to the Cubs, who are a really good team. And the games were good games. They were down to the wire. They were close. So I don't know what the deal is, because everything that I heard was good with the clubhouse. Players love playing for them. You're right. The bullpen stunk. So that was a knee-jerk reaction by ownership, and they've done that before. I mean, they've screwed around with the managerial position in Washington several times now over the last couple of years. I forgot what the number is, how many guys they've had since they moved to Washington, but it's a lot in a short span. So I don't know what they're doing over there. It doesn't make any sense to me. I know he's got a reputation for struggling in the postseason, but someone, I believe it was Jeff Passan at Yahoo, kind of broke down each of those gut-wrenching losses. So, yeah, it's a head-scratcher.
I look at this Brewers team, and I think there's two holes. Second base you got to figure out, first base you got to figure out, and then you start adding arms. Have they solidified either of those positions? First base I find interesting because, yes, they have power over there. Guerra played rather well, and Eric Thames, we know, supplied the power early on in the season. But it's not a solidified position.
Contractually, it's solidified because they've got Thames. Listen, I think Thames is going to be okay there. It's an adjustment period when you're coming from playing overseas, coming back to MLB. First of all, the schedule is completely different. The grind is completely different. And when you have that big breakout month, then you spend the rest of the season kind of trying to chase that again. So I think just knowing how we know Eric Thames, getting a full offseason, not having to worry about a job next year, knowing that he's here, I think he's going to be just fine. I still see a guy that can, you know, hit 30, 35 bombs, could probably hit 270, 280 over the course of a season on a good year, probably more along the lines of 250, 260. And with those numbers, not bad. That's not bad for a first baseman. So I think Eric Thames is going to be their first baseman for the foreseeable future, and they've got a great backup plan with Aguiar, the way those two guys spit time. I think that situation is pretty well settled.
Is there anybody out there, arm-wise, that you would like to see come into this Brewers organization?
I like Alex Cobb. I think that's a good one. I do like Lance Lynn, and I know everyone's going, oh, he's another Cardinal guy, soup on soup. Yeah, but here's a guy that knows the NL Central. And when you play the NL Central as much as you do in that division, you kind of want a guy that knows who he's facing mm-hmm. already. So I like, if I have my one and two, I'm saying Lance Lynn and Alex Cobb are top two. I mean, if you can get Arrieta on a decent deal, okay, give it a shot. But I just don't see that happening, not with Scott Boras.
There's nothing out there that makes you go, wow. I mean, like,
that's
sitting there. I mean, I know that there's some names that are out there that people are going to be enamored with. But I don't see anything out there that is going to make you really salivate and say, well, they have to go up to this particular guy, whether it's a pitcher or not. I mean, there's just not, I started going through this. There's just not a lot of that they're there. I mean, you know, I mean, somebody just sent to me a note saying, what about Mike Napoli over at first base? He's out of Cleveland.
I don't see the party at Napoli's
I don't see that happening, but, you know, I mean, I'm sure they're going to have their toe in a lot of water.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm curious to see. You know, maybe free agency isn't the way they go. I mean, they'll spend money in free agency. But I'm curious to see what the trade market bears when the winter meetings comes. And Doug Melvin talked about this a lot. He preferred to do deals at the winter meetings over the deadline because the price is more affordable. You can be more right. creative with a deal during the winter meetings. They were hesitant to dip into their prospect stash in the summer, and rightfully so. Like I said, they're projecting that they're going to have low draft picks for the next couple of years. So the more you can hold on to, the better. But if the right pitcher becomes available, someone calls up and says, hey, David, you know what? I'm interested in prospect A and prospect B and guy in your major league roster C. I've got this guy available. What can you do?
Okay.
Yeah. Now you're in the deal making phase. This is going to be a really interesting winter for the Brewers.
Go back to Bucks real fast. Bucks, do they finally get that first round playoff victory?
That's the key thing. You know what? They could go out and somehow win 50 games this year, and that would be great. Until that team wins a first round playoff series, everything is just hogwash. And they could talk about owning the future and this the future and build this, win a first round playoff series, and then, okay, then we can start taking you seriously.
Yeah, I think that's about when people will finally start to buy in. I mean, how much do they then jump into, say, free agent or make a trade as they want to hit the ground running next year?
Well, I think that's going to depend on what they get from Jabari.
Right.
And I think until you get healthy Jabari, you can't really make any shifting moves because you don't know what you have. So if you're going to shift the franchise to the next level, you got to know what you have. And until they've got everyone healthy and a legitimate bench, I don't see them doing a lot.
Yeah, it was the one thing I was afraid of when they lost Moose was it was a detriment to that bench.
That's and plus with all the injuries that bench has had, yeah. That's a struggle.
Toledovich,
that is a big struggle.
Henson, yep. I mean, and Henson, I didn't expect Henson to become some all of a sudden rim-rocking protector.
Right.
But I thought he would take that opportunity and run with it, and obviously with an injury and such, it hasn't been great. And even the for Henson,
yeah.
Not
he's been an up and down guy. Yeah. He's been a good, consistent guy. He's not been terrible. It's just I don't know what the expectations are for. Are they expecting him to be a top notch rim protector? What are they anticipating him being? And what is his role going to be? What do they want it to be? That's what they got to figure out. They've got a lot of questions that they need to answer. They've got fancy marketing campaigns and a pretty new arena and a superstar in the making, but they've got to start figuring out who they are and how they're going to get to where they want to be.
Good stuff as always, man. Appreciate
always a pleasure.
It. Always fun. Always fun to talk to you. And I'm sure we'll see each other throughout the rest of the basketball season and obviously going into spring training. Andrew Wagner of the Sports Exchange, brought to you by our good friends down here at Marshfield Clinic Healthcare Systems. And don't forget, they're the ones that helped me get back on my feet. And, boy, they've been great with prescriptions as well. If you have something ailing you, they have Care My Way. That's 844-CARE-WAY. Don't just take my word for it. Go to YouTube and look up some of the testimonials under Marshfield Clinic. And other real-life patients just like yourself have called and said, look, this has really helped me out. You can call them 844-CARE-WAY. That's 844-CARE-WAY. And maybe they can get you a prescription sent right to the pharmacy nearest you. 844-CARE-WAY. Check it out. Marshfield Clinic Health System, the official health care provider of the Bill Michaels Show. We've got a lot more, and we have fantasy football. Paul Charchian coming up next. Start lighting up the lines. 855-830-8648. If you got a fantasy football question, call us. Charch up next on the Bill Michaels Show.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.